Today is Monday, August 15, 2022. This is part two of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with David Mesh. David's last name is spelled M-E-C-H-E. My name is Tom Martin. Good morning, Dave. How are you today?
Good, myself.
Very good. Thank you. David, may we have your permission to record this oral history over the telephone?
Yes.
Thank you. You know, last time you had talked about coming out to work on the Navajo Bridge. This is in the spring of 1994, and you were working for the superintendent of the job, a man named Ed Kent. And I kind of wonder, you'd also mentioned that they were still blasting the footings and foundation cut on the Marble Canyon side when you showed up. What do you recall about, like, the first bit of steel down in the skew back down there? How did that all work out?
It went together good. We had a little bit of false work in there to hold up that first piece.
Okay.
Until we had the how did that work? Had like a temporary column underneath that first piece that made into the wall, you know, into the skew back.
So that skew back was bolted on a foundation with threaded bolts coming out of it. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, it had, I forget how many anchor bolts. It was like a big base plate.
Okay.
And we put that on, and that first cord coming out, we had a temporary lead sitting underneath it, so it sat on that or they blasted out that notch.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, that post held it up. So we had to tie back up from above that too.
Okay, so from the skew back anchor plate, there would be a vertical posts going up. And then they were hooked together with some sort of a top beam.
Well, under that first piece, there was a, I don't know if it was a work hole or whatever, but that column, little post there, bolted underneath it. And then when we made the first piece into that, I call it the knuckle down there where the anchor bolts are. You know, it stood up underneath it like a post. And then I'm pretty sure we had to shim it to elevation.
Okay. So with the first posts up, then the next pieces out, were those the bottom diagonals coming up?
There's the first cord.
Yes.
Coming out of the knuckle.
Yeah, okay. And did those need to be held up? Is that where you had the, in the cut there, were they held up with some sort of support?
A temporary post.
Okay.
So we had, you know, came from the top with the temporary, with the false work.
Okay. So that first cord was held up from below. Then the next, I'm not sure what the term is, whether it's a panel. It would be more uprights then, the next set of uprights. And then you would connect the first upright to the second upright. Is that kind of how that would work?
I think we put the bottom together, like two cords.
Okay.
One on each side. Then we frame that in. You know, brace, have it squared up. Then we started with, came from right there at the base of that first cord. Started standing posts up and went up the wall to the top.
Okay.
We put the stair tower went up first, so we had access to them. That was the very first time.
Okay. And at that point, the bridge is its, I'm not explaining this well, but from the bottom of the steel up to the road deck is pretty far. There's a lot of steel in that.
Yeah.
And was it halfway up there's another horizontal run?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It had a bunch of bracing on it.
Yeah.
On that back wall.
Yeah.
You know, from post to post.
Okay. Okay. And then when would you kind of run the net out?
That was on the bottom. Off the bottom cords.
Okay.
They attached to the struts, matter of fact. That's of some beams that had like a flange clamp. And they, I bolted them to the bottom. I don't know if we have holes cut already punched in there for that when we bolted them.
Mm-hmm.
And, from the shop.
Yep.
And we bolted them and they cantilevered out. And we hung the net off of that.
Okay. So it seems like there's a sort of a spicy time in there when you're ready to move the net further along.
Oh, the net stayed.
Right.
That stayed.
The next section of net.
Yeah, we just kept adding to it.
Yeah. Okay.
The next truck came up with the net on it.
Oh.
We let the net hang down and had ropes tied to it.
Yep.
We made the strut, we cut the lines loose, and just pulled the net to the next net beam and strut.
That's cool.
And hooked it off.
So it was on there already when you dropped that down there.
Right.
Okay. And the bolt-up guys, were they using pneumatic ratchets to
impact
ratchets? Okay. And so did the first couple cords, did they go pretty easy? Was there any, you know, it seems like to start the whole thing off, how did that work out?
Yeah, it went good. Vincent was a fabricator, and they always seem to have a little roll in their eye for some reason. But it fit up real good, I thought.
Okay. And then once the posts were up, how much of that early work did you do with a crane based on the land.
Well, we had a picker on the bank to top unload the trucks. And then after we got the top cords going and that and set down our track, had the traveler out there and the dolly behind it. Then we took the picker and loaded the dolly up, bring the iron out, you know, to erect. I picked whatever I could with the crane from the bank, you know, and set it.
Okay. And at one point then you needed to get a crane out on the bridge.
Yes, I was on a traveler.
How did that all work?
Went pretty good. I thought it was a 50-ton American, and all it was the house and the boom.
Okay.
And I don't know if they built the turntable or took an old turntable, and they welded that frame to it, which was a traveler.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of little trusses in that. Went from cord to cord.
Did you guys build that on site there?
Oh, we put it together on site, but it was, I don't know if Ben Sins built it for us or Trailer Brothers, shop built it. I'm not quite sure.
Okay. All right. So you guys just put it together. Okay. So then with the crane on the bridge, were you still using the kind of traveler, or was the crane able to kind of turn around and pick stuff up and turn around and bring it out one at a time, or did you right away start using the traveler and load the traveler up and then send it right to the crane and pick from there?
Well, I erected what I could while we're close to the, I call it to the bank, but to the approach part.
Yep.
You know, whatever we could pick right there. And eventually we had to use a 30-ton groove hydraulic crane. I think we loaded the dolly up and brought it to the traveler.
Okay. Okay, so a 30-ton hydraulic crane on the, I want to say on the shore, but it isn't on the shore. It's kind of on the top of the cliff there.
Yeah.
To load.
I think it was a 30-ton. Might have been bigger than this.
Okay, and that loaded up the dolly, and then you'd pull the dolly out.
Sad. Two air tuggers on the dolly.
Okay.
Or run the lines out, you know, past the traveler. We pulled the iron right up as close as we could to the traveler, where we could access to the traveler from the dolly.
Nice. Okay. And then at one point, Ronnie Mack, that's Ronnie McFarlane, came out onto the job. Do you remember, had you worked with Ronnie before?
No.
Okay. And how was it that he got called out on the job?
Not quite sure. He knew Ed Kent's nephew,
Jerry?
I guess he worked for him. Yeah, Jerry.
Okay.
I think Jerry worked for him up in Cincinnati or somewhere up there.
Okay. So now you got Ronnie out there and Ed. And got some Navajo guys. There's Mike Charlie and Louis Begay.
Yeah.
And then there's Larry, Scary Larry. I think he was on Bolt Up Crew. I'm not sure. That name rings a bell. Who else do you remember out there on the crew?
It's been quite a while ago.
Yeah. Many, many bridges ago.
Yes. I was born from Denham Springs, Louisiana. I worked with him in Tennessee, and he came out there. His name was Danny. Forget his last name.
Okay. What was his job?
He was in the writing gang, Connecticut.
Okay. And you were the raising gang foreman, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What else do you remember about putting that bridge together on that Flagstaff side?
I was hot.
How hot did that steel get?
You could lay on it and dry your shirt off. I know that.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
You'd lay on it. You know, if you're trying to make a piece.
Yep.
Yeah, sweaty. It'd dry your shirt off.
Okay. And you guys were tied in with a, you had a safety harness with a rope that you'd hook onto something. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, we had on the edge of the cords, we had those hand ropes with tiles were clipped into. And then on the traveler, we had some beams sticking out in front. We had retractables on those for the connectors, you know, working in front of the crane.
Okay. Was it ever windy out there?
I don't really recall.
Okay.
But, if it was, I probably sure did appreciate it. It's been a couple years ago, so.
I bet. It was hot out there. And do you remember every now and then the boats would go by down below?
They would have to stop doing everything because some kind of agreement they made. You know, and of course, if we dropped something, be liable to see and all that.
Yeah. So would you
wave and all that stuff.
Would you guys just stay where you were and sit down, or would you walk back, work your way back to the bank? And
depends what time it was, and it was close to lunch.
Okay.
Probably walk back, or most time just stay where we were.
Okay. So it depended.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And then you would have gotten further and further and further out there What was it like putting that last cord in halfway out across the canyon in on a big, big diving board?
Yeah, it bounced around a little bit. You know, I have to tell that operator take it easy on the swing a lot of times because it just makes it sway out there.
Oh, so when the crane would pick up some steel and turn around?
Yeah.
That would get things to sway in a little bit?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. That must have been a little exciting.
Well, at least we knew it moved.
Yeah, there was a little give in it.
Yep.
So once the Flagstaff side was all built out, what did you do then?
We took everything back to the approach part of the bank, tore it down and put on a truck and went to the other side.
So the 50-ton American, just the house and the boom, and the table, the turntable. Were you able to break that apart enough in little pieces to get it across the old bridge, or did it have to go all the way around the long way?
No, we went across the old bridge.
Okay. So then when the steel started coming for the lodge side of the bridge, did that steel come across the old bridge as well?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. All right, because I know the old bridge could only handle so much weight.
Yeah. And then I'm pretty sure they got one fabricated on most of that stuff.
Okay. You
know, made sure they broke those cords in the mandible pieces for trucking in. You know, so we can handle them too.
Yeah. And you guys were working 4 10-hour days?
I think so, 4 tens.
Yeah, that's I think what Ronnie was saying. And
pretty sure.
Yeah. So 4 days on and 3 days off.
Yeah. Fridays I'd gather my clothes up. Go put them in the washer and all that, get the paper, go eat breakfast while that was going on. And then had the whole weekend to go do whatever you wanted to do.
What would you do on your weekends?
I'd ride around and look at the countryside.
Okay.
Go fishing Lake Powell.
Yep.
Go fishing right down there below the bridge.
Oh, okay. And did you walk that trail down there?
Yeah, that sheep something.
Yep, the sheep trail.
Yeah. Hike all the way down there and bring a bottle of water.
Uh-huh.
Hike all the way down there and catch some trout. Hike all the way back up. Fish would be dried up by the time you get back there.
And you'd try to hurry to get them home and cook them.
Yeah.
Huh. Did your wife and kids go down that trail?
Oh, no. We did the raft ride not not go down to Canyon, but up there out of Page.
Uh-huh.
You know, right there at the dam. That raft ride up that way.
That smooth water rafting from...
Yeah.
From the dam down to Lee's Ferry?
Right. We did all that.
Nice. That's fun. Okay, so did the second half, the lodge side, did that go any easier or harder or any different from the Flagstaff side?
Well, I went about the same from what I remember.
Okay. Was there anything that surprised you or anything you remember on the first or the second half that was an interesting story?
I know you could see that rain and lightning coming from a long ways off.
What would you do when you saw it?
We'd head back to the bank there and hunker down.
Okay.
You know, and if it was rain, one thing that stuck in my mind was like when we'd leave the job, it'd be raining like hell. And I'd come over the old bridge and you see that water shooting in the canyon, you know, from running off.
Yeah.
And it'd shoot up there, you know, 40, 50 foot, that old red-looking water.
Wow.
I still had some of that red stuff under the hood of my truck for a long time when I got home.
Yeah, it's pretty tenacious mud.
Yeah, sure is.
Colors your clothes and doesn't come out.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Did the bridge ever get hit by lightning when you guys were waiting for the rain to go by?
Not that I can remember.
Okay.
I mean, you could see it coming from a long ways off.
Hmm.
You know, and just so. I mean, it was like it was right there. Especially when you got up there on that pass, you know, coming from Flagstaff. Not Flagstaff, from Page.
Yeah.
Down that cut.
To the cut there? Uh huh.
Yeah. You can see it coming from a long ways off.
Yeah. And you were driving every day from Page?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I stayed at the lodge there for a little bit. Then the lady that run the lodge, she was getting a little outrage with her rent and all that. So quite a few of us went to town.
Okay.
Places.
All right. And what do you remember about putting up the last cord, the top cord?
Cord went good. I might want to. I think I was putting the pin in. I'd do a little adjusting there, you know. I think we had to open it up some. And still had to drive the pin in.
Oh, right. I forgot that. I guess the pin would go in before the top cord.
No, the top cord went in, then the pin was last.
Okay. And what do you remember about putting that pin in there?
That Ed Kent's lucky. Seemed like he always lucks out on that. It was the coldest day we had in 3 months. Well, got the pen started, and all I have to do is take the headache ball and beat it in a little bit.
Wow.
I mean, we adjusted the tie backs a little bit, but It was like a real cool motor. It went in pretty good.
Nice. How big was that pin? Do you remember?
Four inches, maybe 6 inches at most.
And how long?
Oh, 18, 24 inches.
Okay. And there was one on each side of the bridge. I'd be careful how I say this. There was one on the upstream side and one on the downstream side where the two halves came together. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And that's the same way they did the other bridge, was with these pins that were 4 to 6 inches in diameter, about 2 feet long, and there was one on the upstream side and one on the downstream side. Did those go in together? Kind of got them in and they were both in place, and then, or did you put them in one at a time?
One at a time.
Okay. Once they were in place, how long did it take you to let go from the tie backs and weight it up?
We had a lot. I'd do some adjusting on the skew backs to get that plate, to get all the bolt holes lined up. That plate bolted up, you know, to the cords.
Okay.
And then I know it was raining and it was pretty cool. So as soon as we got the pins in, I think I called it a day that day.
Okay.
Man, and got drunk.
Well, it sounded like a good day for a celebration.
Yep.
So with the pin in place, then what happened after that?
Like I said, we had some... those plates, we had to bolt those up. And I'm sure there was some bolting up left to do. And then start cleaning up and moving back to the approach.
Okay. So the 50-ton American would be taken back to the lodge side and taken apart.
Yeah, we started taking our net beams off.
Okay.
As we went back. And pulling up our temporary track.
Then did you stay on to help with the deck work?
No, that was a Kramer's job.
Okay.
So I only stayed to, that was the last one there, but for trailer, I loaded up the containers and all that stuff.
Okay, the containers that were used for tool storage and that kind of thing?
Right.
Okay. And then did you get to work on the railing at all? That.
Oh yeah.
When did you come out and do that?
That pour the concrete and all that, and I don't know how long after that. A couple of months anyway.
Okay.
Came back and put the handrail up.
How did you do that?
We used that cherry picker we used to
Okay.
set the handrail. and it all had to be adjusted. You know, it was...
Did that go in like 20-foot sections or something?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know if it was quite that long. But yeah, it was like, you know, it came in panels.
Okay. And then it would just bolt into the decking below?
I want to say... I don't know if it was, forget if it was something on the, from up top, had some struts it bolted to, or some end beds, I can't really recall.
Okay.
I know it took a lot of tweaking to get them, you know, to make them look good, you know, where they matched up, because one was crooked, you had to kind of feather it out to make it look right.
Huh.
You know, so the next one would line up.
Okay. Right, so if they had any sort of twist in them.
And it could come from the deck, you know, from the concrete. Or...
Oh, okay. Okay. So once they were on, I would imagine somebody might have been tempted to drive across that bridge just to check it out.
Well, Kramer had bands blocked off. I mean, we could drive them, right? But, went out there with a work truck.
So were you the first one to drive a work truck out there? Okay. You would have been one of the first ones. I imagine the concrete guys would have probably driven across it just to say they got first drive.
Yeah.
Huh. So when you were done with the railing, was the road still closed? Was the bridge, the new bridge, still closed?
I think so, because I don't think it was painted yet.
Okay.
So.
All right. So in building this bridge, was it just another bridge for you, or did it strike you as being different?
Well, it was different because of the location, for sure. You know, I often get to put a bridge over the Grand Canyon, you know, going to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. Did Ed Kent talk about it with you, about what it was like?
I don't really remember.
Okay. Well, I'm just asking because his daughter, Tammy, had sent me a photo of Ed's headstone. And it shows that Navajo bridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. That's it. It just says Kent, and it's got the second bridge. It's got the crane out there on it, and there's a little gap between the two bridges, between the two halves.
I wonder if that's what he wants.
And I was thinking.
I already talked about it a lot. And that's what the kids did.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounded like he really, He really liked that job. And it sounds like you all did.
Yeah, it was unique.
Yeah, very much so.
So, at the one in California I did, that was a unique one too.
What was that one?
Oakland Bay Bridge.
Okay.
I noticed one that I put up a couple years back.
When did you get on that job, Oakland Bay Bridge job?
'09 or so, I think.
2009?
Yeah.
That's an amazing bridge.
Sure is. I'm glad I went to do it.
Absolutely amazing. So of all the bridges you built, what's the one that comes first to mind? Is it Oakland Bay?
It was probably the most challenging one. That's why I went out there, to tell you the truth.
What was challenging about it?
Well, it ain't every day you pick 1,100 something ton. You know, one piece.
How many tons?
1,100.
Whoa. One piece?
One piece. It was the first section of that tower.
Wow.
Coming out of the anchor bolts. It was like a challenge, so that's where I went, to tell you the truth.
I don't doubt that one bit. Wow. Was that Trailer Brothers as well?
No, that was American Bridge and Floor. A joint venture.
Okay.
And I was working for American Bridge.
Okay. How long were you on that job?
When did I leave? I lived about 3 years.
Wow. Was that first section of that tower at 11,000 tons? Was that the biggest and heaviest part of that bridge placement?
Yeah, the first section of towers, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, okay. Four legs of that tower. No. First section, yeah. Pretty damn heavy.
Wow. Did any of the guys that were on the Navajo Bridge get in on that Oakland Bay Bridge? Except you?
No.
Okay. 3 years out there.
Huh. And I left, it was still going on, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went back to Philadelphia, then up to New York.
On different bridges?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went back to California to get that left coast lifter ready to come over to New York.
I'm sorry, run that past me again?
We had that big water crane, the left coast lifter.
Okay.
It was still in California, and the job in New York bought it. So I went back to California to get it ready to come over to New York.
How did you do that? How did you get it? Did you take it all apart, or did you boat it around?
They hauled it through the Panama Canal.
Okay. under the bridge that Ed and Lamar cut their teeth on. How cool is that? That was the Bridge of the Americas, huh?
Uh-huh.
That's pretty neat, huh? How long did it take to get that lifter from California to New York?
Shoot, I forget offhand.
Some months, I suppose, huh?
I'll say it took like about a month.
Okay.
You know, with all the stops and fuel, and I think it took them maybe a week to come through the canal. You know, I have to wait in line. And
Right. Did you get to go with the crane through the canal?
Oh, no. I've been on them boat rides before. When I was with Diesel, we put all the equipment up in a whip lift and, you know, bring everything to the job site. And that's not a real fun ride.
Yeah, I suppose there's not much to do but sit there.
Yeah, especially if you're using your own tugs and, you know, you only make like 6 miles an hour, you can see the same tree for, you know, 2 hours.
Yeah, it's insane. It's a long road around. David, is there anything else about that Navajo Bridge build that you remember that you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I enjoyed going out there to do it. You know, like I said, not every day you put a bridge over the Colorado River.
That's right. And that is the start of the Grand Canyon.
Yep. Sure is.
Nice. Well, with that, maybe this is a good place to wrap this interview up. What do you think?
You got my number, so you can call me back if you need to.
I do, and I will. Hang on a second. I'm going to wrap this up, and then we'll chat for a little longer. Hang on a second.
Okay.
So this will conclude part two of a Grand Canyon oral history interview with David Mesh. Today is Monday, August 15, 2022. My name is Tom Martin, and David, thank you very much.
You're welcome.